Okay.
Today we're going to have our Wednesday class today, and we're going to do another piece from Rav Huttner about Purim. So again, another important idea about Purim. The booklet that you have, we did the first page, and I want you to go now to the fourth page. The fourth page where it says on the left side, the upper left side, Chaf Tes. The bottom says Inyan Yud Beis. Okay, we did a piece.
Inyan Yud Beis.
Yep, on the lower left hand side.
Yeah. No. Inyan Yud Beis.
Yeah, so turn back one page.
Back.
Yeah, one more back. Okay, we have that. It's on the lower left side. It starts in the lower left hand side.
Yeah.
This is a piece from Rabbi Yonasan David, who is the son-in-law of Rav Huttner. Also a very brilliant person. And he's going to talk about a very important thing about Purim. So it starts with Aleph. We know there was it's going to be in this week's Haftarah, where Hashem commands Shmuel to tell King Shaul to destroy Amalek. And Shaul pretty much does destroy Amalek, but he doesn't totally listen to the instruction. And one of the things he did wrong was not killing the king of Amalek, Agag. And after Shmuel reprimands Shaul for not killing him, we now see the pasuk says the following: "Vayishasev Shmuel es Agag lifnei Hashem." And Shmuel thrust his sword into Agag; he ran him through to kill him. But then it says the words "lifnei Hashem," before Hashem. So the question is: of course, everything in the world is before Hashem, right? You ate breakfast before Hashem this morning. We're giving a Shir Torah lifnei Hashem. So why does it say that he killed Agag lifnei Hashem, before Hashem? That's the question. And again, this is dealing with Amalek, right? Amalek is our terrible enemy, and that was the main part of the Purim story, that Haman came from Amalek. So why does it say lifnei Hashem? That's the first question. Now we're going to see some beautiful words of the Vilna Gaon and a beautiful development of this. Beis. Yiduin divrei Hagra shiyom kippurim Yom Kippurim. We know that in the Bible, the holiday of Yom Kippur is called Yom Kippurim. That is the official name of the holiday. You take the word Kippurim and you can break it up into two words. Ke, which means like, Purim. So Yom Kippurim is really a day that's Kippurim. That's like Purim. All right. Now that's not a small thing. Sheyom Kippur hu hachatzi lashem, upurim hu chatzi lachem. He explains like this. We know every Jewish holiday is an argument in the Talmud, but the main opinion says is that half of the holiday should be focused on your relationship to Hashem, and you do things that Hashem wants you to do. That's lashem. And half of the holiday is lachem, for yourself. So on a regular yontif, you get up early in the morning, you go to davening and shul till noon. That's the part with Hashem. Then you go home, have a nice meal with your family. That's lachem, it's for yourselves. Maybe take a little nap. And then you go back to shul and learn a little more in daven. And you do half to Hashem and half for you. That's the way it is. And that's how all holidays are. It should be that way. Says the Vilna Gaon that Yom Kippurim and Purim are really two halves of one whole. As other holidays have what we'll call a balance in and of each holiday, Purim and Yom Kippurim on their own are imbalanced holidays. And only when they're put together in tandem do you have this balance. And you see that the name itself lends itself to that. Because you have Purim and Kippurim. So it's like Purim. So therefore, just like every holiday has a part for yourself and a part for Hashem, so let's figure. Yom Kippur. What is Yom Kippur? A holiday for Hashem, a holiday for you? It's for Hashem. You're in shul the whole day. Most people, I am at least, when I'm there in the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm there till 8 o'clock at night. Finished. So I only go home to sleep. If I didn't have to go home to sleep, I'd be in the shul the whole day. It's all Hashem. On the other hand, Purim, it's almost all Lachem. Aside from what a Jew has to do any day of the year, I mean, every day of the year you have to daven. Okay, you'll do it every day of the year. It's not something special about a holiday. Purim is like a weekday holiday. It's a weekday holiday. You can drive, you can do any of these things. Hey, you got a davening on Purim. It's not such a big davening. It's not a longer davening. No halal. It's a regular weekday davening. Okay, we lay. Fine. Read the Megillah. But it's not that you have to be in shul all day. Not even close to all day. You're in shul less on Purim than on Shabbos. Right? If you have a fast Megillah reader, right? But there's a lot of lachem. You're feasting, you're partying, you're getting drunk. I mean, there's an Indian. So really, it's like each holiday is very imbalanced. Yom Kippur is totally lahashem. Purim is totally lachem. So what you do is they're halves of one whole. You put them together. Only you put them both together, do you get the complete package. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. Since they're two halves of one whole, therefore they have to have a similar expression, where one is called Kippurim and one is called Kippur. Right? So, that's the idea. So now let's look at one of the joint expressions that is, in other words, there's a lot of commonality between Purim and Yom Kippur. As much as you'd ask anyone on the street, what two holidays have the most in common? If you just ask that question in general, no one would say Yom Kippur and Purim. Nobody. They'd be troubled to have any of them in common. Pesach, Shavuos, you know, maybe it's something in common. It's the beginning of Sfira, end of Sfira. No one would say Yom Kippur and Purim. But you're going to see there's a lot of commonality between the two of them to make them be this two halves of one whole. Okay, so let's see. Gimel. Al Kaparas Yom Kippur Nemar. Let's see what it talks about, the idea of getting kapara, getting atonement on Yom Kippur. What does it say about that? It says, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper Ella, turn the page, Al Averis Shebein Adam Lamakom. Yom Kippur only atones for sins between you and God. That Hashem will forgive. Avolo Al Averis Shebein Adam Lachaver, but not on sins between a man and his friend. That will not, Yom Kippur will not help. Shenemar, because what does the Pasuk say? And here are the critical words. Lifnei Hashem Titoru. On Yom Kippur, the goal is, before Hashem, you shall purify yourself. Before Hashem, you shall purify yourself. So, and then the Gemara goes on and says, Ve'en Yom Kippur Mechaper, Yom Kippur does not bring atonement, Ad sheyiratza eschaver, until you appease your friend, till you say you're sorry and bring things back together. That's the idea of Yom Kippur. You must appease your friend on Yom Kippur, or it doesn't work. You do not become pure before Hashem. Now notice, again, it's saying, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, before Hashem. Now remember, we said by Shmuel, he killed Agag Lifnei Hashem. Is he getting another time Lifnei Hashem? Before Hashem. So you see something's happening here. So now, what do you see? Yom Kippur, you must have, for Yom Kippur, you must ask forgiveness from your friend. Now let's see if that shares that idea with Purim. V'gam b'Purim b'ofen mishloah, and Purim in its own way, yesh rich l'chaver, there's also a peacement of friends. Why? V'umitzvas mishloach manas yisrael, you give gifts to your friends. Habas ahavas reim, an expression of love of friends. V'aritzui de Purim, this is the appeasement of Purim. So we see both Yom Kippur and Purim have an aspect that you want to bring yourself to other friends. We talked about it last week, the idea of why we want Achdus, to bring the Torah together, as we talked about last week. But now he's just saying on a simple level, we want our friends to this. Okay, so now, let's continue in Dal. So that's another similarity. There's a much deeper understanding over here. As Rav Hutner, his father-in-law, says in a talk about Yom Kippur. Bekoach mitzvahs nemar din shalifnei Hashem. Bekama mitzvahs nemar din shalifnei Hashem. There's many mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah says you do the mitzvah before Hashem, which is shehu makom mesuyam. It's a specific place where you do the mitzvah. It could be obeheichal. It could be in the Beis Hamikdash itself. Obazara, in the courtyard. Okol Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. Bekom makom mesuyam lefiyein inyano. A specific place depending on the topic. In other words, the Torah says many times, do this mitzvah lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. So, let's say there's a mitzvah to eat certain holy foods. It says you eat it lifnei Hashem, and depending on the situation, where is this before Hashem? It could be in Jerusalem is considered before Hashem, in the courtyard is considered before Hashem, or the mitzvah is done in the temple itself is before Hashem. So before Hashem usually is a geographical location of before Hashem. That's the idea. So now we have to understand, what about Yom Kippur? Ubi Yom Kippur shenemar lifnei Hashem. Yom Kippur says, before Hashem you shall purify yourself. So the question is, so which place are you standing on Yom Kippur to purify yourself? Where is the physical proximity before Hashem over here? So yesh chidush, there's a new insight here. Shein ha-meduber al-mokum asum, we're not talking about a specific place. The Torah says you have to purify yourself before Hashem Yom Kippur. Is that a mitzvah today? This year? Is there such a mitzvah today?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every year. Is it mitzvah Yom Kippur?
Okay.
We don't keep Yom Kippur? Keep Yom Kippur. You have to do tshuva, kapara? Yes. Lifnei Hashem titaru. You have to purify yourself before Hashem. That's a mitzvah Yom Kippur.
Yeah, okay.
Now, of course, there's many mitzvahs that we can't do before Hashem. Korbanos, animal offerings, things like that. Kachim, holy things, we can't do in Avodas HaMikdash. But Yom Kippur is meant to be done all the time. It's not dependent on a Beis HaMikdash. You think you can't get atonement without a Beis HaMikdash? So the question is, what could the physical place be that's called before Hashem you shall purify yourself? So it's not a physical place. Ubal Korcha, we have to say, Shalifnei Hashem Titaru, purify yourself of Hashem, Ein Perusha Elamakam Mesuyam Banefesh. It's a specific place in the soul, not on planet Earth, but in the soul. Shemisham Chala HaTahara. From there, rests, begins the purity. You get to a place, we're going to explain this. You're going to get to a place that is called before Hashem, a certain place in your soul that's called before Hashem. And from there you get to the purity that you're looking for in Yom Kippur. Again, the goal of Yom Kippur is not merely atonement, not merely forgiveness of sins. It's to reach a level of tahara. Purity. And not just purity, but tahara lifnei Hashem. Purity before Hashem. You gotta be in that place. So just like when you're bringing a certain korban, you have to bring it in a certain place and eat it in a certain place, or you haven't done the mitzvah. Yom Kippur has to be done in a certain place, but it's not a geographical place you can touch and feel. It's an existential place, which is a certain place in your soul you have to reach on Yom Kippur to achieve the purity you're looking for on Yom Kippur. Umakam said, what is this place? What is this place? Shekol klal Yisrael biyachad mechuborim l'chativa achat. This is a place where the entire Jewish people are connected in one block. Hu amakam shenikra lifnei Hashem. That's the place that's called before Hashem. On Yom Kippur, we're looking for more than forgiveness. We're looking for purity. We're looking to be lifnei. And if you are lifnei Hashem, that's where you can achieve the purity. And where is this place? It's where all Jews come from. This is what we call, there's many terms for this. It's called Knesset Yisrael, the congregation of Israel. It's when Hashem created the world, the first two things in creation was the Torah and Knesset Yisrael. The conceptual idea of there being a holy people. Now, that's a metaphysical reality. It's in the highest spheres of the mystical worlds. But that's where we all come from. So, you know, I'm going to use a physical analogy, although it's not chas v'shalom to be interpreted literally. Imagine you've got this big, you know, we talk about the iCloud, you know. Everything's in the cloud now, right? Mm-hmm. All our things in the cloud, right? I still don't get it, but I believe it. You know, I can save all this stuff, and even my home computer is going to be broken. It's there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the cloud. All right? So look at this. There's an iCloud called Knesset Yisrael. There's a reality up there. That's the congregation of Israel. It's the collective pool of where all of Jews come from. And now from that pool, we'll have millions of little strings to us little puppets that are connected to that spiritual pool of soul. Okay, that's right. You don't see it. If we had good vision, we'd see a little some little string coming from your head.
Silver lining.
A little thing going all the way to the highest realms. Each and every one of us is all connected to that big pool. We can call this also the neshama de neshama, the soul of the soul. There's many terms for this. There's another term that you are aware of. It's called the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah, the divine presence. It's the manifestation of God in this world in terms of how he gives and is good to the Jewish people. It's the source of all our souls. Now, we know every Jew has a soul. There's different levels of soul. The lowest level is called the nefesh, that makes what you do holy. Then there's ruach, the ability to speak, have emotion in a holy way. Then there's neshama, the ability to think the way God wants you to think. Those are all parts of your soul. But as we take it higher and beyond ourselves, it's rooted in this collective Jewish soul. Every Jew is connected to that collective Jewish soul. That's the place where you have to reach on Yom Kippur. If you, that's the place. A whole year long, you may not even be at all even thinking about your soul at all. But if you are, you can maybe get to nefesh, ruach, neshama, maybe. But to get to way beyond yourself, to the source of where you come from and the source where every other Jew comes from, you have to be in that place on Yom Kippur to achieve that tahara, that purity before Hashem. So that's what it's called, Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, the entire congregation of Israel. And Kol Nidre. What is it on Kol Nidre at the beginning? With, Yeshiva Shalmal, Shilamata, we ask permission to pray with the sinners. Because on Yom Kippur, everybody's there. The whole Jewish people are there on Yom Kippur. Even the sinners. Everybody's a Jew on Yom Kippur. And we have to come to that place that's the source of every single Jew. Kol Echad V'Echad, and each and every one of us, Yesh Chelek B'Nefesh, we have a little portion of that higher soul. Shesham Shutfaso L'Chol Kal HaShol. That's the partnership of the entire congregation of Israel. U'Kashemeir L'Odom Chelek Zeh. And when that little part lights up, Sham Misaveh HaTahara, then the purity begins. That's the goal of Yom Kippur, to go way deep to the deepest part of who and what you are, which is connected to the entire congregation of Israel. So now you can understand. But what if im yesh ma'akev chatzitza ba'oso makom? What if there's some kind of a barrier for you to be in that place? You know, your little string's trying to go all the way to the top of that. No, it's dead end. It's not making it there. If there's any blockage to that spot, and where is that blockage going to come? Shekayemes beino lebein chaver, because it exists problems between you and your friend. Veish hafra'a betziruf shel kol yisrael biyachad. There is a disruption of this combining the entire Jewish people together. Hechitimtza shel chet veheter tarumas, the ability to sin and argue with others. To this we have to say, no. Lifnei Hashem titaru. The pasuk says you have to get to that place to be taru. You cannot be forgiven by Hashem until you apologize and make friends with your friend. You, in other words, appeasing every Jew that you may have wronged is the only way that you have a direct link to the place before Hashem, which is the collective Jewish soul. If you're fighting with people, and you're angry with people, you hate these other people, then you're blocking your ability to connect with that collective Jewish soul. You have to accept the entire collective Jewish soul. And if there's people in the collective Jewish soul that you don't like, and they don't like you, and it's big break blockages there, you're not reaching that place, and you cannot achieve the purity that you're looking for. It's no different than you want to go to Jerusalem to eat a korban. You paid money for a korban. You want to now eat the korban, and a guy put a roadblock, and you're stuck in Beit Lechem, and you want to eat the korban. You can't. You're not in the place to eat the korban. You brought your cow. You sanctified the cow. Let's say you live in Beit Lechem. You took this cow and said, this cow is going to be a korban. It's going to be holy, and I'm going to be a korban shlamim. I'm going to be able to eat it. Yeah, you could eat it, but you got to take it to Jerusalem, sacrifice there, and eat it in Jerusalem. What if there was a blockade? You can't get into Jerusalem. You can't eat the animal. Because you're not in that place. So for you on Yom Kippur, you have to get to that place. And what's that place? That place is the collective Jewish soul. You have to be in that place. This is a very important concept that people don't understand. It's not you just, we think you go to forgive your friend because you don't have this aveira. Right? On Yom Kippur, you want to clean the slate. You want to clean the slate. Okay, between me and God, I could talk to God all day long and he'll be happy for me to clean my slate. But I got lots of people I did things bad to. Well, God says, I can't forgive you for these things because you have to go to the other people. That's the simplest meaning, but the deeper meaning is you're trying to achieve tahara, purity, to reach levels of closeness to Hashem and totally not interested in averos and things like that. The only way you can do that is you have to get to the source of your reality. And the source of your reality, believe it or not, is together with all the other Jews. So if you're fighting with them, you can't get back to the source of your reality. You will not achieve the ultimate goal of Yom Kippur. You will not achieve. That's Yom Kippur. That's why the Arizal says, every day before davening, a person should say if he can, say, I accept upon myself to fulfill the mitzvah of ahavta l'reicha kamocha, to love your neighbor like yourself before you daven to Hashem. Because you want to get back to your source, to your roots. This is a very important idea. So this is, so Yom Kippur, that's half of the coin. It's half of the coin. It's the part of the coin between you and Hashem. You're doing everything for Hashem. That's half of the yontif. So for that part, you got to get before Hashem. You have to be before Hashem. Lifnei Hashem. You have to get to the root of the root. And therefore, how do you get to the root of the root? You got to make sure there's no blockage. It's the root of the root. And once that, you can't be fighting with people. And that's why it's not only if you did something wrong to somebody, you have to apologize. If somebody did something wrong to you, you have to forgive them. And the Rambam says, if you don't forgive somebody, you're a sinner. Because if you don't forgive him, then the other guy isn't. Everybody's got to have equal access to this collective Jewish soul. So if somebody hurt my feelings, and he really did a bad thing, and I'm hurt, if I don't forgive him, then I'm not allowing him to be connected to the collective Jewish soul, and that impacts on how I'm connected to the collective Jewish soul. We all work properly when everybody's connected to that collective Jewish soul. So that's all Yom Kippur. So we're saying the same thing. You're going to have to see the same thing by Purim. Because before Purim is the same aspect. Hey, Alena Ladas, we need to know. Shemahalach Kezeh, this pathway, Shayach Gam, B'chatzi Lechem Deburim, that applies to the same thing by the half that belongs to you by Purim. Shekolavas in the Purim, Yedei, Nikalu Ayudim, the whole story of Purim happened. How? How did the Jews get saved? It says the post says they gathered together. Kehila v'hisachtus, one congregation that's together. And therefore, mispatas o'ava v'yedidis ben zelos v'yisrael, and that expresses the love and the friendship between each and every Jew. Just like on Yom Kippur, we remove the sins. With Yom Kippur, it's more Yom Kippur. I'm looking at the things I did wrong that are the blockages, and I'm trying to remove the blockages. Just like David HaMelech says, you know, sur me'ra v'asei tov, stay away from bad and do good. So I did a lot of averos that I need to be forgiven. I got to stay away from the bed. I got to ask you. I have to apologize. Yom Kippur were full of apologies. But on Purim, it's not. On Purim, it's the positive. Al yedei kach, and through this, notes their tzir shel, we created an image of lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. Kol Yisrael biyachad, everyone together. Kinesis Yisrael tamid lifnei Hashem. The congregation of Israel is always before Hashem. Ubenafsha shall call Echaveru, and in each and every one of our souls, my soul has a place where it goes up and touches that place. But also with that place where you feel a connection to the Jewish people. Sham oimed hu lifnei Hashem. That's where you're standing before Hashem. In other words, we want to be standing before Hashem. That's the critical place, to be before Hashem. Being before Hashem is in the deepest reality of who you are. A person can go his whole life long and he doesn't even know who he is. If you don't know who you are, how could you be near Hashem if you don't even know who you are? I can say, here, move over, move over. At least, but I only can tell you to move over if I know where you are. Come here. If I know where I'm at, I can come here. If you don't know where you are, where can you go? You know, there used to be many years ago, I remember a song that says, do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going to?
Yeah.
Do you know? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem.
Do you know where you're going to? Where life is showing you. Yeah. Where are you going to? Do you know?
Yeah, but the problem is, you have to start a song before that. Before you get to that, you have to say, do you know who you are?
Yeah, where you are.
Do you know where you are?
Where you are.
To know where you're going. Think about that. Where are you starting from? Where's your starting position? Most Jews think they start with, here I am, I have my life, I have what I want, and now from here I move on. No, that's not your starting position. Your starting position is way up there, together, completely linked together with every single Jew. Right? You want to be before Hashem? You have to be before all His children. V'dafka sham, and here's the critical point. Now another thing comes out of this. Because who's the mortal enemy of the Jewish people? Amalek is our mortal enemy, destroys us on every level, physical, spiritual, every level. Amalek destroys us. The only way to defeat Amalek, v'dafka sham, only in that place. That's where the battle is won against Amalek. That's where you win the battle. And that's why it says by Shmuel Hanavi, it says he killed Agag lifnei Hashem.
Because we were together.
Lifnei Hashem. Before Hashem. Didn't mean before Hashem. It means he entered the place of lifnei Hashem, meaning the highest level of his soul, which is a caring and belonging to the Knesset Yisrael. That's why Shmuel, he killed him from that place. Our ability to destroy Amalek only comes from our ability to know who we really are. Amalek, remember, casts doubts on ourselves. That's the whole way Amalek works. We're not sure about what we're doing. Well, the first reason why you're not sure what you're doing is you don't know who you are. If you don't know who you are, how can you be sure of what you're doing? If you know you're coming back to the root is who you are. But the root who you are is you're together in the same pot with every other Jew. Now, if you're fighting with Jews, you are denying your roots. You're disconnecting yourself from the roots. So as much as Yom Kippur is more of the way of LaHashem. You know, you better listen to Hashem, you better say you're sorry, all that kind of stuff. On Purim, it's from the Lachem. Like we said last week, it's what? I have my friends and enemies, who are no longer my enemies, we're at the same party drinking together. We're eating together, laughing together. Partying together, bring ourselves together. People I don't have so much in common with. It doesn't have to be somebody you hate that you're fighting with. It could be somebody who you're ignoring totally. That's the idea of the whole Purim. Everything about Purim, as we said last week, everyone comes to the shul together. Everyone, we're giving gifts to everybody. We're mishloach manos, matanos levyonim. We have sudas Purim. Everybody is together. Everyone of the Jewish people, I love you all. Even we've had arguments during the year, and we didn't get along so much. If we can't get ourselves back together to the Lifnei Hashem state, then you're finished. You're finished. Amalek will destroy you. As we said on Shabbos morning, again, this idea of we talked about the showbreads, the Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem HaPanim, the bread you put on the table, it says, Lifnei Hashem Tamid. They have to be before Hashem constantly. The same idea. When something is before Hashem, it's spiritual, it's vibrant. It's growing. It's connected. That means you're connected. If you're not connected, then you're not vibrant. You're finished. You don't have a connection to Hashem. The whole point is being disconnected to Hashem. Yom Kippur and Purim are the two greatest days to feel this connection to Hashem. We can approach the root of who you are, Lifnei Hashem. One is more of a serious way of doing it. And the other way is a happier way of doing it. But the main thing is we want to be as inclusive of all Jews in our life. So that's what you think about a lot of Jews. You don't think about all year long. You know, and anybody comes to your door, knocking on the door, you don't ask questions. I had a guy who came yesterday to shul. That is, I don't know if he's legitimate or he's not legitimate. Most of the times, that kind of guy, I wouldn't give him any time of day. Because, you know, he needs certain types of I don't want to say credentials, but you know, there's a lot of not legitimate people. whole year long, you have to be a little bit more particular. You know, I'm not talking about giving a dollar. The person wants more money. So I heard him out. I don't know. I don't know if he's a Jew, and I know he isn't. So I went over to call the guys. Okay, let's give the guy the money he needs. Why? It's Ador. It's Ador. We don't ask any questions. And normally, I would say, nah, I don't want to give this guy. I didn't feel he was legitimate, personally. I'd have to do a lot more research. I don't have the time to do the research, and I'm not obligated to give more. But it's before Purim. Before Purim, you don't ask questions. We love all Jews. The guy already was like rubbing me wrong. He was talking to me the way he was. You could feel it out. Sometimes you could tell when a person's more legitimate, and sometimes you feel it's not, because I've seen a lot of these people. And the guy was a bit abrasive towards me as well. Ray kind of makes, I say, you know, it's Purim, let's just give him and finish. You know, we love everybody at Purim. Because I want to reach that stage of Lifnei Hashem. Because I can't get to my spot Lifnei Hashem if there's blockages over there. So this is section one, first level. But now he's going to take it much deep. This already is beautiful. So yeah, now you understand why you don't celebrate Purim alone in your house. You know, yeah, if you think being a Jew means you're not with anybody else all the time, you know, if a person wants to convert to Judaism and say, I want to convert to Judaism, I'll do all the mitzvahs, I'm going to live on the North Pole. They're not going to accept him as a Jew. You have to live with all the Jews, for better or for worse. You have to love them all, for better or for worse. Why? Because if you don't get before Hashem. You're not there. So Lifnei Hashem. So what you can achieve on Yom Kippur, you can achieve on Purim. And you have to have both. One without the other isn't good either. Because, just serious and crying and that's only that's between you and Hashem. But what about between you and yourself and your own enjoyment and being with other people? You have to achieve that level too. So that's the first thing. Now he says, now this was the easy part of the class. Now we're going to take the more challenging part of the class. All right? Vav. Gemara tells us, all the holidays, when Mashiach comes and we'll enter a new reality, all the holidays will now cease to exist. Shavuos is now, no Shavuos, no Sukkos, no Pesach, finished. Ladies, you won't have to make Pesach. It's going to be amazing. No holidays. Except Chutz B'Purim. Except for Purim. Purim will always be. And all the books, besides the five books of Moses, all the prophets, gone. Chutz Megillas Esther, except for Megillas Esther. That exists like the five books of the Torah and the oral law about them. They'll never cease. Purim will be a holiday that will always exist, and Megillas Esther will be a book that will always exist. So how are we going to understand this? Zion, next column. Be'ura, let's explain. Kiali Yeshua said, this salvation that was experienced on Purim, there's a pasuk in which this is what is referenced. The pasuk says, and it's in Tehillim, we say this on Kabbalah Shabbos, when the end of days comes, Varo kol af se'aretz, and they will see to the ends of the earth, es Yeshua Elokeinu, the salvation of our God. Now the Gemara says, what's this referring to as well? Amasai, when will we see this? Look what it says. Bizman Mordechai ve'Esther, in the times of Mordechai and Esther, that's when David HaMelech was praying, we should see the salvation of Hashem to the ends of the earth. And he was referring to the Purim story. Now, very interesting. I mean, the whole world is going to see this, the salvation of God. And what does David HaMelech say? That's Purim. V'yodu'im divrei Ramban. We know the famous words of the Ramban. Sof Parshas Bo, at the end of Parshas Bo. He says like this. He talks about the idea of miracles. He says, Shemitoch hanisim hagluyim shoyvim Yisrael, from the overt, well-known miracles that happened in Egypt, ata omeid al nisim Yisrael. You can begin to understand the hidden miracles. In other words, if you see God splits the sea, now there's a God, yeah, for sure, no question about it, I know that. But the purpose of the big miracles is for us to also know that God is doing the little miracles. The things that don't look like miracles. The fact that your heart beats is also a miracle. It has to bring you to appreciate that too. That's what Ramban says. V'hainu, meaning to say, Ki ritzoni yisparach hamelubash b'teva, because we know God is enclosed in nature. You walk through the nature, you don't see God so easily. That's the only way he wanted it. Umanig b'ritzono, and that's the way he leads. Mitoch ubetoch ateva, with inside nature. Hashem wants to rule without us knowing that he's there, overtly. That's constantly God does this. God always runs the world 99.9% of the time. He doesn't split the seas. He doesn't come on Sinai. Life goes on regular as if there is no God. But no, he's just hiding in the whole story of the nature. Uritzoni Yisbarach. And Hashem wants it. Shehem chugetev. The laws of nature, yisnaha gubliyas, should go out and never stop. That's why God wants things to go. Let the world be nature, exactly nature, 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 nature. Now, what happens when there's a miracle all of a sudden? What's going on? What's on Hashem's mind when he's making a miracle happen? When you have a break in the action, all of a sudden the Jews are going out of Egypt. All of a sudden, for a year's time, there's unbelievable supernatural miracles happening. Perusha, it means, Kamosha Hishrish Harashi Vizal, as again, it's referring back to Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner explained to us, it's just like in the Torah, we have laws that are constant laws. For example, it's constant laws in the Torah. You want to bring a korban? The law is, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Finished. Every day. The temple stood for hundreds of years. It's the law every day. You want to bring a korban? It's a constant law of God's Torah. You go to the Beis HaMikdash. But, when emergencies come up, all of a sudden we make an emergency measure, temporarily, lakor lizman, just for a moment, we uproot something from the Torah. Best example, when Eliyahu HaNavi saw that too many Jews were following after the false prophets, and this couldn't go on anymore. They were believing the false prophets more than believing in Hashem. And they didn't feel Yerushalayim was a holy place and all these things. And the whole Torah is going to be finished. We've got to do something with these guys once and for all. So he made an emergency measure act. And only a great prophet can do this. Me and you don't even think of doing this. He says, you know what? I'm challenging the false prophets. And we're going to build an altar on Mount Carmel, which was totally prohibited any other time in the history of the Jewish people. You cannot make an altar somewhere outside of Yerushalayim. You cannot. And we'll bring an offering there. But he did it to show how terrible and incorrect these false prophets were. So he felt, if I can do this, then we'll have a chance to bring the Jews back. Now again, only a prophet who's very close to Hashem has the rights to do these things. We should not practice this at home. You can't say, I decide today I won't keep any mitzvahs because then I'll be more excited to do it tomorrow. You can't say this. A prophet can make emergency, and then right after that's done, that's it, forget it. Now the next 500 years, we're only bringing korbanos in the basement. It's no difference than, what do they call it, when there's a natural disaster, what the government calls a curfew or, what do they say? You know, normally you go out whenever you want. You want to walk down the street at 4 o'clock in the morning. You allowed to go in Florida? Sure. What if, God forbid, a big calamity happens, big earthquake, and the police need to go? They can impose a curfew. Mm-hmm. Well, you take away my freedom rights? No, that could be forever. Just for the next week, till we fix things up. We got to get people off the streets. We want people off the streets. How are we going to fix up everything? People can die. It's not the law every day, but it's an emergency measure. I have to make emergency measures. So we know there's emergency measures in the Torah. The Torah is, we talked about in the past, the Torah is emes, it's true. Today, Torah will never change. But, you know, once in a while, God says there's an emergency, because the people have been so bad, and the situation is so for just a little moment, we're going to change the way we normally do things every day. We're going to, you know, break away from our regular scheduled program of control of the universe, which is usually done through the natural effect. We're going to, now all of a sudden, boom, big miracles. So that's like the same thing with Torah. Torah is meant to be kept on a regular daily basis, but once in a while we make emergency measures and we go different than normal Torah. That's called Horas Sha'ah, Emergencies Act. So similarly, Kani Stakel Baraisa, when Hashem looked in the Torah, Ubaraman created the world, what did Hashem say? Shigamba Oilam, so the world too. Remember, the world is just a reflection of the Torah. The Torah is a blueprint for the world. The Torah is meant every day, you follow the Torah the way it is every day, but once in a while we'll make an exception. Same thing, the world conducts itself in a regular way all the time. But once in a while we'll make an emergency measure about the world. You have overt miracles that break through the normal way that Hashem wanted things to be natural. We talk on Nisim Aglulim. Once you see the big miracles, now you understand, you can come to understand the will of the leader on a regular basis of the Nisim Nisrum, the hidden miracles. And that desire is enclosed constantly with what we call nature. Okay. So this is the famous Ramban. Hashem, when he does a miracle, is only for the purpose for us to realize that the way he usually does things is the way he's there too. Really, the way it should be, every day you get up, every day you see the sunrise, every day you say, oh Hashem, thank you so much for the sunrise. Hashem, I love you. Hashem, I know you're doing all this. And Hashem wants you to make the effort to see him over there. That's why he wants it. Through nature to see Hashem. That's what he wants. That's the best way. That shows you really want to be close to Hashem. But when he sees things, episodes, people having questions and doubts, and Paro and all these things, the Jews are at the lowest level. He says, you know, I'm going to have to make an emergency change just for a little while, and then we're going to go back to normal. The normal way is, I don't do miracles, and everything is the way you still see me there. Fine. Now, very interesting coming up now. Now we're coming to Purim. With Haman. Haman, in terms of being an anti-Semite, he was the first one that had a new spin on his anti-Semitism. And what was that new spin? To totally destroy each and every Jew. This was a new, of all the hatred to Jewish people, this was a new one. Other ones said, we'll subjugate you, we don't want you to keep your religion, but we're not out to destroy the entire Jewish people. Haman wanted to destroy the entire Jewish people, number one. Number two, we know about this Megillah. What do you know so special about the Megillah? What is unique about the Megillah different than every other book of the Torah?
Hashem.
Name of Hashem is not there. Doesn't say Hashem did anything. So it totally is working within nature. Now, were there miracles in the Megillah or not?
Yes,
but they were hidden. People, they're so hidden, people could just say, man, what a bunch of lucky coincidences. Too many coincidences that happened to fall in the right way to make things work out so good to say that it was just a bunch of coincidences. You know, that Mordechai, you know, from the beginning, Mordechai lived in Shushan. The palace was not in Shushan. The palace was not in Shushan. The king made, hired people from Shushan to make him a throne, to be transported to where the king lived. But when they made the throne, it was too heavy for them to move it, so the king moved his kingdom to Shushan. We're changing. Imagine in the United States, if Obama would say, we're changing the White House now, we've moved it to
New York,
to Chicago, where I came from. Well, you do that, you know, because there's things that I'm interested in, whatever. So why did that happen? Because if it didn't happen, Mordechai would never have been involved to save the Jews. Then the whole story, then when Haman would have wanted to kill Jews, Mordechai wouldn't even be in the game. That's one of maybe 20 little things. When the people were planning to assassinate the king, it just so happened that Mordechai was in the same room. And it just so happened that Mordechai was just appointed to be there. And it just so happened that Mordechai knew all 70 languages. And the guy spoke a foreign language, thought Mordechai didn't hear them. Mordechai heard them and reported them to the king. And now he had a good marks with the king that would help him later on, years later. All these coincidences, if you want to look at it without looking at God, an atheist would say, there was no God in the story. But to realize it all happened through nature. You have to remember this. The nature was not disturbed in this story. We just finished the Exodus of Egypt in the Torah. Shmos, Vayera, Bo, Bishalach, Yisrael, all of nature was disturbed. Now, right after we finished disturbing nature, now the focus now is Purim. And Purim, there wasn't one disruption of nature at all. Remember, God, how does God want the world to usually run without nature being disturbed? He wants us to look and dig and find Hashem within this nature. That's the trick of Judaism. When Hashem has to make an emergency change, he'll make a big splash. But then things go back the way it's supposed to be. The Purim story was as much as the entire future of the Jewish people depended on things working right, and we could have been finished. And in earlier generations, we were in Egypt, we were threatened of total annihilation. God had to come in and bust the place open with his miracles. Here on Purim, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything that looked unusual, although he did a lot.
It's a 3D movie.
He did a lot, but you don't see him there. It was totally, it was about 9 years, the events where you have to put all the pieces together. I'm keeping this, and I'm going to read now, you'll understand better. In this salvation, now what was the point of this salvation? We're in Ches. Who kiyuma shoklal Yisrael. This is the preservation of the Jewish people. Asher kiyum zeh. Now, how long in the history of the world do Jews have to live?
5,000.
We have to always be there. Can there ever be a time where the Jews aren't? No. We have to be constantly. Because we're the purpose of creation. Zehu ha-tamid. This is tamid. Consistently. And it can't be broken away from God's conduct. So therefore, since the Jewish people should consistently be here in a consistent way, with God not changing nature, and that's the way God consistently wants it to be, and now we're being threatened that we can be out of this consistency and we can be wiped out. Hashem dafka saved us in the way he wants things to always be also. Since we're a people should always be, and he always wants us to be with normal, natural life, so the salvation was in the way Hashem always naturally wants things to be as well. Kanitan chalon l'toch alavush hazeh hanikra teva liros hanagazu. God gave us on Purim a window to see the garment of nature of how Hashem wants to connect to the world. In other words, God runs the world regular. We don't easily see God at all. Did you see God this morning? Most people say, I didn't see him today. Did you see him yet? No, didn't see him yet. If you lived in Egypt and saw God turn the water into blood, ooh, I saw him. I saw him because things weren't regular anymore. Now the question is, you're living through the Purim story. You're living through the Purim story. And you have one part where the kingdom, the capital moved to Shushan. Oops. Another thing that the king decided to kill Vashti, which was a stupid, ridiculous thing. Another, the king wants to make a beauty patch. And then Esther doesn't want to get picked, she gets picked. Yeah. And it's going on and on and on. No super miracles. I didn't see the sea split. But God is saying, but I did things a little bit more obvious within the nature to give you a window to seeing, you know, what I really do all the time. But here I made it a little bit clearer. If you pay a little more attention, it'll be a little easier to connect the dots together. And truth is, I'm really doing this the whole time. That's what he's saying. You got a window into seeing how God does things every day. And this only happened one time. It was the only time in the history of the world. Big miracles God's done a few times. 10 plagues, split the sea. When the water, the manna, the clouds. The Jordan River split when the Jews had to enter the land of Israel. Some of the victories they had were miraculous. Hailstones came down and destroyed the enemies. Elijah the prophet said it's not going to rain anymore. Elijah the prophet gets God's fire to come down and destroy everything around him. You know, once in a while. We had a few times. But this thing where God stays within nature. He didn't do anything that goes beyond that a scientist would have trouble explaining. Scientists have no trouble explaining that Ahasuerus killed Vashti. He has no trouble explaining, you know, that the day that Haman wanted to hang Mordechai was the day that the king had a dream about Haman wanting to kill him. And he had it, and he was disturbed that he didn't reward Mordechai. A lucky coincidence. But God did it too much and too often in one story. He stayed within nature to the limit to make it clear that he's running nature. He only did it once. And that's in the story of Purim. And this was when Jewish survival was at stake. Paro didn't plan on killing all the Jews. He never planned on killing all the Jews. He just wanted to subjugate them more. Muhammad said there should be no more Jews. Remember, there's certain things have to be constant. God is constant. His desire is constant. The existence of Jewish people has to be constant. And Haman wanted to stop that consistency. And now what David HaMelech is saying, this is the pasuk. This is it. Everyone from the furthest ends of the world saw that Hashem is our God. When? Amos said he's by Mordechai of Esther. At the time of Mordechai of Esther. Hashem showed us the Nes Nistar, the hidden miracle during Purim with no overt miracles. That was the only time he really did it. He did it in such an outstanding way that if you had half a brain, you couldn't ignore how God is involved in the hidden agenda of the running of the world. And that's why we say in Shoshanas Yaakov, we say, Chua sam ha-yisol ha-netzach. Their salvation was eternal. V'sikva sam b'chol dor v'dor. And their hope is for every generation. We're talking about the permanence of the Jewish people. We've talked a lot of things that have to be permanent. Hashem is permanent. His hashgacha is permanent. Doing things in a natural way is permanent. And our existence is permanent. This is all that we're reflecting on in Purim. V'umashikaz ha-rambam. Now come up a test. This is what the Rambam means. Shemegilas Esther lo tispatel yolam. Megillas Esther will never be nullified. Just like the five books of Moses that are forever, and all the laws that are forever, the Megillah is forever. Why? Why are they so foreverish? Because that's the consistency that Hashem wants. Hashem wants that the world should always be going naturally, not supernaturally, and you feeling the connection to Hashem even when things are not natural. But Vishar Sifrei Tanakh, but other books of the Tanakh, they were nitin l'tzarach, they were given only as emergency situations. Aval Torah Hilam, but Torah is forever. The Torah is the will of Hashem, that's forever. The Torah is given for people who live in a natural world. The books of the Navi were written because Jews did things that were, shouldn't have been done. So temporarily we have to have them to fix up certain things. It's not meant forever. But the Torah is meant forever. The whole Megillas Esther is what? The eternal living of the Jewish people. Also Medrash says Yom Kippur won't be nullified. It's another Medrash. As the Maharal explains, Shugam Kiyuma V'Nisku Yisrael. Because Yom Kippur is also the eternal existence of Jewish people. Why? Because what did the first Yom Kippur come for? What was the need for the first Yom Kippur?
To get us together.
Why? The sin of the golden calf had to be forgiven. The sin of the golden calf where Hashem said, Shemavantul Gzeres Vachaleim, he nullified the decree of I will destroy them. And the sin of the golden calf, Hashem said, I'll destroy them, Moshe. Moshe, please don't. And then finally by Yom Kippur, he says, okay, I won't destroy them. Yom Kippur is also a holiday that commemorates that we will not be destroyed. That's not being destroyed from Hashem. Purim will not be destroyed from other enemies. And therefore, that is, we talk about things that will be forever. What's forever? Forever is the things that always have to be. There doesn't have to always be a Pesach. Because that's when God broke the laws of nature. And God says, I don't really want to run the world that way. And when Mashiach comes, I'm not really interested in that way. I want the world to be in the most natural, when Mashiach is going to come, to be the most natural way. No miracles at all. You know, naturally, believe it or not, your heart and your body naturally should live forever. Naturally. Because you have a soul. And the soul lives forever. So your heart should never, why should your heart, you know, get clogged arteries. Where did that come from? That's not natural. Because we've destroyed nature, we think that's natural. A natural Adam Arishan should live forever. Naturally. No miracles. But, so when Mashiach comes, that's going to be nature. There'll be no big miracles. It's going to be the reality of Hashem, and we sit there learning Torah naturally. That should be forever. That whole idea is, you know, it's not, Mashiach isn't, you know, the next world isn't boom, fireworks and this and that. It's Hashem and us together, sitting, learning Torah, enjoying the closeness naturally. It's a natural thing. You don't need explosives. And maybe Gogol Magog will be a temporary few moments of explosions. So the Megillah really, we didn't have to disrupt the way God wanted the way to go. And that's why the Megillah, the message of Megillah will always be forever. Yud. The Knesset Yisrael and the Jewish people margisha eich shemitziyosa v'kiyomah hu betoch lifnei shol shem yisbrach d'mis. And now we come back to Knesset Yisrael. We come back to what we started. the collective Jewish people, let's come back to that collective Jewish people. The collective Jewish people, they feel how their existence is only when, lifnai v'lifnim, when you're really close to the will of Hashem. That's, remember, Hashem is infinite, Hashem's desires is infinite, and when you're connected to that, then you are infinite. That's all. And the Jewish people, the leaders at least, know that that's our ticket to ride. Our ticket to ride is, if you're before Hashem, you're always going to be fine. L'chein therefore, tosim ha'akirim di Yeshua zu mitzara ha'meskenes kiyuma kigilui mitoch osof ha'avim. So therefore, the rabbis who observe the events of the story of the Megillah, they grab onto and they recognize that that salvation from that very mortal danger, it existed, revealed within the concealments of the most concealments. In other words, that totally concealed way of operating was revealed to them. Umarkish, and they felt dafka, but makom pnimi nivinefsha. Only in the deepest part of themselves could they feel. As hagili haniflashal ritzona, next page, the wondrous desires of Hashem. Shemitachas lavusha teva, that within the enclothement of nature, hazeh shiro kol afse eretz ishulkenu, the whole world could really have seen the salvation of Hashem. Not necessarily all the non-Jews did. But the ability was there to be seen. Ratzon ma'od amuk shemargisha b'makom ma'od amuk b'nefesh, a strong desire that's able to feel something that's in a very deep part of the soul. In other words, only someone who connects to the deepest part of who he is able to understand the deepest way that Hashem is running the world. You could skip all the rest of the brackets. Okay. In other words, David HaMelech, he could understand it. All the tzaddikim, The Sanhedrin, after the story of Purim, digested it and waited to see, you know, is this something that a deep person can deeply see what's going on over here? In other words, Pesach, any simpleton can figure out Pesach. That's why even secular Jews are still keeping Pesach. To some extent. Pesach, okay, you know, God did miracles. It's okay. But Purim, you talk to secular Jews, you know, okay, When we're kids, it's nice to dress up. When we become adults, Purim goes the way like anything else. Purim, the secular connection to Purim is only if there's little children. Once the little children are gone, Purim's gone. It's a phase. Mm-hmm. Pesach, they still hold on to it. Why? Because, you know, there were miracles. It was, something was overt. It was cool. Purim, look at my story. You know what? And, you know, and the kids dress up. The kids dress up. Fine. And, you know, everyone likes, you know, if it weren't Jewish, we'd go trick-or-treating. So, what's the difference? Right? But, so once, it's the big tragedy. Once you grow up, Purim is not exists anymore. Well, that's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. The whole point of Purim, Hashem was showing us that the way I want you to live every day, Gantz Yor Freilich, every day should be like Purim. Everybody should see Hashem running the show. On Purim, Hashem really showed it to you. But you're not going to see it. A secular Jew, even a frum Jew, who's not connecting to his lifnei Hashem, won't see it. You have to understand, why does Hashem do all this? Because he wants the eternity of the Jewish people. But where would you think that that's important? You have to come to the root. You have to come to how we started the class. You have to come to Knesset Yisrael. You have to be lifnei Hashem. If you're lifnei Hashem, if you're before Hashem, you're really before Hashem, then you feel this, what's going on over here. If you're very distant, then you just, you know, it's another interesting current event. You know. V'dafka b'makom shenikra lifnei Hashem. So now, on Purim, you too have to get to a place of lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. Sham haya nitzachon al hasoine. That's where we had the victory over the enemy. He wanted to nullify the shape of such a person. Amalek does not want us to be lifnei Hashem. And therefore we need a Navi like Shmuel to fulfill the obliteration. He nullifies and destroys the shape of an Amaleki from that place. He killed Agag before Hashem. In other words, if you're not before Hashem, you don't even know the Purim story. Just like on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, if you don't get to the place of Lifnei Hashem, you haven't even come to Yom Kippur. Yeah, but if you can't get to the who you really are, and that means you have to forgive other Jews and things like that. If you can't do that, you've created a blockage between you and the Lifnei Hashem. And that's why, on the simple level, on Purim, we're doing all the happy things where everybody sees there's no blockages, but now we take it much deeper, the blockages. Do you see that Hashem is running this world? To be Lifnei Hashem. To see Lifnei Hashem. So Purim, it said, a year later, right away you don't make the holiday, Here they did. They said, we gotta make a holiday out of this. Because the rabbis understood, if we look well, we see that Hashem was involved in every step of the game. Now, normally, we go through our lives, Hashem makes problems for us. This problem, that problem. It's a lot harder for us to halt cup. 18 years ago I did this, and 15 years ago this happened, and 12 years ago this happened, and 9 years ago this happened, and 6 years, and 5 years from now this is going to happen. Hashem knows what He's doing. It's clear what He's doing, and it's only good things for us. And He's doing things to maintain us forever. Hashem, I wish I could see this. I just can't see this. And Amalek starts saying, puts doubts in your mind. I say, Hashem doesn't care about you anymore. Because if He cared about you anymore, look at your secular friends that are so rich. Look at the guy who won the lottery. Look at this guy who's healthy. Look at all these things. So you think Hashem's forgotten all about you. He doesn't run. That's what Amalek is saying. You think Hashem is running the show? He's not running the show anymore. Right, that's what Achashverosh, that was the whole celebration. Hashem's not running the show anymore. You're no longer Lifnei Hashem. You had a temple, you were Lifnei Hashem. Ugh, it's even better now. Jews could have made the mistake and thought they can only be Lifnei Hashem when there was a physical, geographical Lifnei Hashem called the Beis HaMikdash. This is the only story. It's the only story of a Jewish holiday of significance where there's no Beis HaMikdash. This is when we were in Golis. Every other holiday we were in Eretz Yisrael. Even the Hanukkah story, there was a Beis HaMikdash. We had to rededicate it, but there was a Beis HaMikdash. Here there is no Beis HaMikdash, nothing. If anything, you think, for sure you're not Lifnei Hashem. For sure you're not Lifnei Hashem. Anyone who wanted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Haman interfered that it shouldn't be rebuilt. You're never going to go. The 70-year prophecy where we would return seemed to not be fulfilled. And so you're not going to be Lifnei Hashem. This is from a secular point of view, from a superficial point of view, you're the most not Lifnei Hashem. The most not Lifnei Hashem. And yes, you can always be still the deepest Lifnei Hashem. How? Two ways. You come to Knesset Yisrael, it's always Lifnei Hashem. Doesn't matter where you are, you're Lifnei Hashem if you come to Knesset Yisrael. And the Lifnei Hashem, in terms of seeing how He's running the world, Lifnei Hashem. Olam Shana Nefesh. World, place, time, and soul. Where is the Lifnei Hashem in place? Where is it? It's right there. You have to see it in nature. In the Teva, you have to see the Lifnei Hashem. When Hashem does big miracles, that's not so deep. That's not so deep to be Lifnei Hashem. That doesn't take you to the deepest place. When you're looking at nature and you're seeing Hashem, that's in the deepest place. Just as hard as it is for you to dig into your neshama and to see that another Jew is the same Jew as you are, that's a hard place to go to. It's a hard place to see where everything seems to be working naturally. No, it's Hashem is every step of the way. But by Purim, Hashem gave us a little bit more to see it easier. A little bit more to see it easier. So once you know that Hashem, this is the whole simcha depends on this. Yud Beis. So this is a simcha Lifnei Hashem. There's other psukim that say before Hashem is only gladness and joy. Why are we so happy on Purim? Why such a happy holiday? Because this is the holiday where you can get to be Lifnei Hashem. Even though the Gemara says that there weren't happier days. Well, this is in the Times. I have to explain. The Gemara says the happiest days were Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Yom Kippur, you can understand because you were Lifnei Hashem. Okay, Tu B'Av, we'll have to explain otherwise. But Purim is also a happy day. Why is it at Simcha? Because it's Lifnei Hashem. Menichonenu is called Tfisas Hadasa. We take whatever we think is reality. The way I think the world is, we take the way I normally think the way things run. Shalanu Haregila. Normally, how I look at the world, midoch mabat chitzonis, with a superficial view, halavush, that's enclosed, v'nimtsoim ve'eis ha-simcha, bitoch umitachas also kisi. We reach joy underneath that cover. And only by being together as one, that's called Lifnei Hashem. We always use, when there's anything called hidden, we use the word who. We say, you, Hashem, you are a hidden God. In other words, so what's the message over about Purim? The message is Purim is like Yom Kippur, that we have to come before Hashem. That's a 2 days of the year. I mean, really, it should be all year long. But 2 days a year, the whole avodah is you got to put yourself in front of Hashem. And the only place to put your... And it's not the easy way to put yourself in front of Hashem. It's not like I just go to the shul and I'm there. I go to the base of Mishnah and I'm there. You got to be in here, into the shorish, the shorish, the root of all of Knesset Yisrael. For people that have made your life so miserable, you have to go in there and be friends with them. You have to be one with them. And because that's what Hashem really, that's who you really are. You really are. Without these people, you wouldn't be who you are either. We're all one collective Jewish thing. But then they gotta look not only at people that way, you gotta look at events that way. That every event is a Lifnei Hashem event. And although that's a hard thing to do, now by Pesach, Hashem said, you know, I'm just gonna blow the world apart in crazy ways. They're gonna know that I'm running the world. But by Purim, Hashem said, no, you're not going to have these fireworks anymore. You have to be able to live a life, especially in Gaulis. Remember, the Jews would not be in Gaulis. When they're in Gaulis, we don't get these fireworks anymore. Hashem said, you got to know, you got to look deeply, lifnai v'lifnim, to be lifnei Hashem in those circumstances that don't appear that way. I gave you enough evidence in the Purim story, if you know that it is doing it. And when now you're going to have other circumstances where you don't seem to see how Hashem is putting the things together, you go back to Purim and say, no, I see it's there. And that's Chayim Adam Lubasumi, Bepuria Adol Yoda Ben Baruch Mordechai Baruch Haman. If you get so drunk, you don't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Baruch Haman. And then you say, it's not up to what I think and what I see anymore. You have to suspend your judgment because there's a deeper reality that exists. And that's the whole Yontif of Purim. So Hashem should give us the schus to be able to feel that depth. Tomorrow we'll do another thing about Purim, but more not in the text, but outside the text, and we more with sources and things like that.